Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Hi everyone, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Women Worldwide. All right, let's talk about a tough subject, change, right? There's so much change that goes on and it's not easy. It takes, when you're going through a change, it takes flexibility, adaptability, and your will to move outside of your comfort zone. So have you made any big changes in your life or your career lately? Well, I've got the perfect guest who can talk about big transitions. Joining me on the show today is Ai Zhang. And, you know, when I first met Ai, she was living in Philadelphia and she was teaching at Stockton University. And today she is still a professor, but she's living in Korea, and she's added quite a few things to her resume, like being a digital learning consultant. She's a blogger, and she's also a live streamer with a Facebook live show that she's going to talk about. So rather than me going on and on about Ai and all of her wonderful accomplishments, it's time that she shares her journey with you. So Ai, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Deirdre. This is like my dream has finally come true. It is truly my honor to be on the show. I'm so excited.
You are too kind. Well, thank you so much for getting up super early. So I think it's like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, 5 a.m.
Oh my goodness, you are such a rock star, and the enthusiasm and energy that comes through is just amazing at that time in the morning. So, you know, I mentioned how we met, and of course we run in the same circles. We met online, which is amazing, social media in and of itself. You were living in Philly, teaching at Stockton, and then bam, all of a sudden, huge transition in your life, right? So maybe you could just tell us a little bit about that transition in your life and career.
Yes, definitely. You know, you are 100% right. When we connected in person, and I was a teacher, and, you know, I was doing a teaching research service, you know, all the things that a typical college professor does. And now I have truly expanded my service. You know, you mentioned that I'm a blogger, a live streamer, and a digital learning consultant. I guess I can also add speaker because I do have a few speaking engagements coming up soon. And one is actually today, my time, and in South Korea, the first one. I'm so excited.
So I think congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. I have an interesting story which I will share with you later. If there is a question comes up related to that, yes. So I think the transition was really triggered by our move from Philadelphia to South Korea last year due to my husband's job. But I think besides that, there was a desire in my heart that was craving for a bigger stage and was craving for some change. You know, before we came to Korea, I spent 1 year doing research. You know, we have those sabbatical. So I was on sabbatical. You know, I spent like lots of time doing my own academic research. But at the same time, I also spent lots of time reading books and listening to podcaster interviews like yours. And I listened to like interviews that talk about social media marketing and self-development and being an entrepreneur, and all the content that I consume just fired me up. I was like, wow, this is so exciting. And so many people are like enjoying their work and loving their work and enjoying their life. They are like traveling, doing this and creating impact. I was like, wow, if they can do it, why not me? You know, and I think I already had that in my heart when I was on sabbatical. And then the opportunity to come to Korea like came to us through my husband. So almost in a way, I think, you know, I attracted or I manifested this South Korea opportunity to our life through my husband. And so that's how I kind of started my transition and coming to Korea. You know, I'm a Chinese American. I'm a native Chinese. So I don't speak the language. I don't know the country. I don't know the culture. And being in such a foreign, exotic environment, and just triggered something within me. And that was probably deeply like buried in some part of me that I was not aware of before. And I started a series of initiatives like blogging, live streaming, and all those things become a lot more like risk taking and like just doing many things that are just not my old me in my comfortable environment.
That's really interesting. I mean, the move to Korea and the way that everything came together. I love that you said that you were craving for change. And sometimes you have these feelings inside, but it takes certain situations in your life to bring them out. So it sounds like the move was, and the sabbatical too, because you were researching and learning, but it's almost like that move brought it all together. And, you know, when you think about all of the different things that you've added to your resume and your body of work, what do you love to do the most? Well, what excites you the most?
Yeah, I'm really passionate about education, you know, especially the future of education and how technology and digital media devices are disrupting the traditional teaching and learning space. And social media. So those things are what I'm truly passionate about. And also, I just love the freedom that I have now, you know, the freedom to do what I love and to create content on things that I feel passionate about. I also have two young children, and the freedom to go to their field trips, to go to their like events and like concert at school and doing what I love. This is amazing. And to be able to support my family. And I just love it. And just without technology, without social media, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing here in Korea.
Yeah, it's almost like it helps the life of the entrepreneur.
Exactly.
You know, so, right, you get the freedom to kind of design your day and carve out when and how, like you, I think your kids are sleeping right now and here you are doing an interview, but it's this technology that really helps make that happen.
Exactly.
You could be in South Korea and I'm in New Jersey and it
exactly.
sounds like you're 2 feet away from me. It's absolutely amazing.
Exactly. I shared with you earlier, you know, I was craving for a bigger stage. You know, I was a teacher. Every semester, I have about 100 students. But I think with the digital media space, you can reach much more people, you know, not just like 100 students or 100 people, but maybe 1,000 or maybe even 10,000. And the sky is your limit. You know, you can create content to serve people, to improve people's lives, and to learn from you, and you can learn from them. It is just amazing. It is truly amazing. You know, like later we're going to discuss my Facebook show. I use the hashtag classroom without walls. That's truly how my life is. You know, I'm trying to create this digital learning space for me to learn from others, for others to learn from me, but most also this space for us to co-create content, to learn from each other, a community. And this is what makes me excited every day, you know, wakes up in the morning to create content and to do what I love and to have the freedom to do that. It's just truly amazing.
Well, it's because everybody, so you mentioned, you know, when you were in the classroom at Stockton, you probably had a few classes a semester, 100 students. Now, you know, with classroom without walls means there is no age frame of the student. It doesn't matter if you're undergraduate, graduate, PhD, or you don't care. Maybe school isn't for you and you just want to learn on your own.
Absolutely.
Everybody.
Exactly. You know what? I still have some of my former students watching my show. They were like, I love this, Dr. I. This is great. Like, wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you can keep in touch. Like, that's the other thing. Students come and go. Or I just remember when I taught back in, gosh, I guess I started in 2002 at Fairleigh Dickinson University, and it was a whole different ballgame. It wasn't social media, although there was internet and brands were online. You know, you met students in the classroom, but then it was harder to keep in touch. And now it's just so easy. But I want to get to your Facebook Live show. And with all the streaming that's going on, you know, why did you choose Facebook Live? And what do you think are some tips that maybe you can share about being a good host?
Mm-hmm. I actually started my kind of live streaming journey on Snapchat, you know, and I think like everyone, even for a crazy person or super extroverted person like myself, I was camera shy, you know, I didn't jump into like Facebook, the public platform to start my live streaming journey. I started with Snapchat, you know, chatting with people one-on-one, like doing pictures, quick videos, and even chatting with my students, you know. And I think Snapchat really prepared me to start my Facebook Live show. So you were asking for tips. And I think one of my tips is start with what you are comfortable with, you know, and maybe it's like almost every single social media site nowadays allow you to do some sort of video, you know, on Twitter, you can do video, live video, on YouTube, you can, of course, video and live video, Instagram, you can do live stories, so many different channels. So choose whatever you feel the most comfortable with and then go from there, you know. And I started my Facebook Live show last year, and actually my show has changed a lot. When I started my show, I was hoping to inspire traditional educators to embrace digital learning and social media. But quickly I learned traditional educators, they are not actually into live streaming.
That's funny, right? They're not going to be there watching you.
Exactly. You know, I think that's why we need to get started. There's so much you can plan, but you really just have to get started to test your ideas. You know, I learned, oh, shoot, nobody was there. But most people who joined my Facebook Live show are like social media marketers or people who teach social media marketing, but they are not traditional educators. I think traditional educators, at least in higher education, they are bombarded with teaching research surveys. I think that's what the system is rewarding them, and that's what they spend most of their energy. And doing this type of thing, what I'm doing, is not yet being recognized by the system. So I don't really see those people in this type of digital space. So I kind of like shifted my focus to discuss like social media marketing and or maybe like digital disruption. And so that's kind of what I'm talking about on my show. And my show has been viewed by people from 13 or 14 plus countries. And it is truly amazing. Every day I receive message from people. Hey, I love your show. Like last month, April, yes, I was speaking at the Texas social media conference, and there was this really nice lady approached me. She said, I love your show. I love your content. But I didn't even know her. She never sent me any message or anything. I was like, really? Me? That is amazing. And so I really love the, as I mentioned earlier, you know, this content co-creation. Every time when I go live, I have my own questions. I have my own agenda about what I'm going to discuss with my guest of honor. But I also love the comments, the questions from the audience. You know, in a way, it is like almost like a community that we are co-creating content. We're learning from each other, much more participative than a traditional, like a traditional lecture at the university level. I think this really inspires me, ignites me, and just makes me feel like so inspired on a daily basis. And several of my videos, like one with Julia McCoy on content marketing, and one with like...
Oh, yeah. She was on Women Worldwide.
Yes, yes. Yep. I listened to that. She's amazing. And with Mark Schaefer and Brian Fenzel, there are several, 4 or 5. I gained just 1.2 or 1.4K views, like hundreds of comments and 20 shares, all those things. And I'm so thankful. Yeah. It is amazing. Yeah.
That becomes your classroom.
Yes.
I mean, literally.
Exactly.
Your Facebook Live show with all of the people who are watching and commenting and they're asking additional questions. It's really no different than, you know, when I think about being in the physical classroom, except now you can open your reach and you can have all these people from different countries.
Exactly.
Watching.
Right. Fascinating.
The better. It is, and it's a better learning experience. And I just wonder, you know, how in your experience, do you think that that is the biggest way that learning has changed? Are there other ways that you're seeing learning change? What do you think is the state of our learning?
I think so. You know, like our students are so different, how they gather information and how they consume information. So different from how you and I, when we were students, you know, how we consumed and gathered information. And I think our students are digital learners. They prefer digital first, you know, and that's why I'm such an advocate of speaking students' language in order to teach our students. You know, we as educators, we need to be where our students are, you know, instead of expecting them to come to us, you know, and we need to be where they are, speaking their digital language. I had so much success. You know, I shared like Snapchat earlier, I was just chatting with students about their career or answering their questions about whatever classes I was teaching and just giving them advice.
So you're mentoring on Snapchat?
Yes.
What, basically.
Snapchat or whatever digital platform they use. Maybe for some students, Twitter. But nowadays, it's like Instagram. I'm going to teach my classes online in the fall semester. I'm going to dive in to like Instagram. You know, like I already have quite a few ideas I want to try and experiment with. So excited. Yeah. So they are digital learners, you know. And also, I think another big change is that maybe some teachers are not ready for this, is that we need to have the courage to say, I don't know. I really don't have an answer for this question. Maybe we can go figure this out together, you know. And I think as teachers, we are also students. As students, they are also teachers. We need to empower them to develop that agency to figure things out on their own and to be comfortable with sharing their opinions and to become digital storytellers. And we need to facilitate that to happen. You know, I think another change I noticed is that like students don't just learn from one teacher in the classroom, you know, and that's why I love this notion of classroom without walls. They can learn from you, from anyone in the community, in the public space, in the digital space, and they can learn from everyone, and they can also teach everyone. It is this like you are students and teachers at the same time, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, I call it reverse mentoring.
Yes.
I always feel that if it's, you know, if I'm not, well, even it happens when I'm teaching my students and we're in a virtual platform and it's, you know, we're going over topics, let's say for the final exam, suddenly they're always sharing and teaching everybody else and me too. So I do think you made a really strong point for anybody who's going to be an educator is that you have to have the courage to sort of say, hey, I don't know it all, and let's figure it out together. Because it is about stepping out of your comfort zone.
Being vulnerable, you know, like running my Facebook show, putting myself in the public space takes lots of courage, you know, making myself vulnerable. But I think that is what makes people love you. You know, you are so relatable, you are authentic, and people love that, and makes you feel like you're not so alone, because we can only learn and so much, you know.
Yeah, I mean, when you build these communities and you feel like you're a welcome member of the community, you're right, you don't feel alone, and you feel like you're growing together. And that's really important. Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to take a super quick break to give some love to our sponsor. I also want to mention that Women Worldwide is on the C-Suite Radio Network. You can find all of our shows at c-suiteradio.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out all the other great business podcasts as well.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with 2 M's.com.
Now back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Izang and I were just chatting about big transitions, embracing change, and how she made a big move to South Korea and added a whole bunch of new things to her resume. So we sort of left off on the learning front, the classroom with no walls. And I just want to throw the question to you, because we talked about everybody else learning and students and how they need to learn. But what about you? Since you've moved to South Korea, do you feel that your learning has changed, or you've had to adapt to certain things, when and how you're going to
learn? Yes, 100%. I think when I was in the U.S., I really love social media and digital media devices, all those things. But in Korea, I truly experienced the power of technology, the power of social media. And I have to say that nowadays, for my work, like digital and social media and technology, they have become the root of what I do and who I am. Without technology, I will be like nothing. I wouldn't be able to do any of the projects I'm doing. Like last year, even this year, I got to travel to quite a few places and got involved in quite a few projects, and all of them are like happening through the digital media space, you know. And many of my collaborators we never met before. Like right now, I'm collaborating with another amazing educator, and we share the similar language and we believe in similar things. We are writing a book, and
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. There's just so many projects like that with people I have never, ever met in person.
It's amazing what you can do, social media and technology. So when you step back and, you know, you've been through this big transition and you just said that your learning has changed, things have changed for your family and your business, what do you think you learned about yourself that was, you know, almost like surprising?
Yes, I learned so much about myself, and I really love the person I have becoming. You know, I'm evolving. I really love this version of I. And I think when I was, I'm still a professor, but when I was in that traditional teaching space, I was like who I am is not really who I am. It's filtered through all those things from the society, from the higher education system, and the mainstream discourse telling me that I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to go to this conference, I need to check out that person's work. All those things, I just feel like I need to do those things. But I think starting this self-reinventing journey is also a journey to understanding myself and what do I want? You know, what is something that makes me passionate about? And I think this is the most rewarding part of this journey, you know, and understanding myself. And I fall in love with the person I have become, and also becomes closer to spirituality. And all those things, just they naturally emerge as a result of those big changes and things that have happened last year.
Do you think it was a gradual process?
Oh, definitely.
For you? So in other words, it wasn't...
Definitely.
Yeah, it didn't necessarily happen just because you moved or you were faced
definitely.
With a big change, but that's what kind of prompted you to find yourself in this reinvention
100%. Yeah, that's a very great, a good point. I think because I love learning. I'm a lifelong learner, just like you. I always learn.
Forever
exactly.
Student.
I read books. Nowadays, I listen to books. So I use Audible. I listen to books. And I also, like, I do journaling. And I become a lot more reflective on life. You know, coming to Korea, what happened, and reflect on life. Also, last year, I think, because what I'm doing is not so traditional, and so many things happened last year, and lots of people supported me, my endeavors, and they become my fans, and I go for it. By the same time, there are also people who perceived me maybe as a threat, or maybe like, oh, wow, what is she doing? She's supposed to be doing teaching research service. Look at her. And I also gained lots of like negative interactions or traction as a result of what I'm doing. And I can't tell you, Deirdre, how many times I cried last year. And but I think those moments also helped me become closer to myself. And when that happened, I truly examined my life. You know, what do you want in life? You know, what truly inspires you, you know? And also, when those negative things happened, and that's also, I used to be a very like spiritual person, like I meditate, I practice in yoga, but coming to Korea last year, I was like hustling, you know, so to speak, working a lot, developing my own consulting practice. I forgot who I am. I forgot to take care of myself. I stopped
that.
Meditating, all those things. So when those negative interactions came to me, I was like, wow, I was really destroyed by that. You know, I was crying a lot, but I think it's a wake up call for me. You know, you also need to take care of yourself. And so I kind of also started to be on the right track, to take care of myself, started meditating again, and watching what I'm eating, not feeling so stressed. It's definitely a gradual process, you know, and just like learning more, reflecting more, and this is not good, and why this is not good, and learning from that experience, and what is this experience going to teach me, you know, and treat every single maybe failures or mistakes or negative instance in your life as a learning case, you know, what can I learn from this, and then move on.
We just made so many great points. Taking care of yourself is key. And I'll mention that sleep is also very important as you're meditating and eating right. And, you know, if you're not taking care of yourself, then you certainly can't be any good to anyone else. So I think it's always a journey, no matter where you are. And what I hear you saying is you've become very self-aware. And that the fact that you can kind of step back, and you're always going to have your success, but you're always going to have your challenges, and knowing that, you know, it's okay, I'm going to move forward, I've learned something from this. You know what? That's the best place to be in. And nothing's ever going to be Perfect. And I just know the more you put yourself out there, which you are, that gets a lot of positive, but it also brings in negative or judgment or critique, however you want to look at it. It's a part of that digital
exactly,
world. That
exactly. You know, I think reflecting on what happened to me last year, and I think everything I do outside the classroom makes me a better teacher. You know, now I teach my students, I can share with them, digital space is amazing. But on the other hand, this is also the other side of social media. You need to be prepared. You know, sometimes I read articles, like last year, there was a really popular article from New York Times and saying that this one professor, she was banning all sorts of digital media devices in her classes, like no computer, no laptop, no cell phone, of course, so that her students can focus. And that triggered lots of debate, you know, like two schools of thought. One camp think that, you know, that is absolutely too radical, wrong. Another one is just like thinking technology is amazing, you cannot do that. Another camp supports that, you know, our students are so distracted. And
Yeah, I mean, that it's funny because when I taught at NYU with the graduate students, they have your phones, have your iPads, you know, whatever you need, because I looked at it as an opportunity for them to bring more information into our discussions, or to take information and to share it with anyone who, you know, wants to follow a class hashtag. So I'm on that spectrum of open up the communication and to use those devices. All of this takes stepping out of your,
your
comfort
definitely.
Zone. And yeah, just your process and what you said about how you reflect and what you've learned about yourself. So maybe you could just share some advice for other professionals about stepping outside of their comfort zone, you know, because it's always easier said than done. But what would you recommend?
I think this person needs to spend some time with her or himself. You know, I think throughout my own education career or early 20s, I didn't spend enough time getting to know myself. I spent a lot of time studying other people's works, other people's lives, but I did not spend hardly anytime getting to know myself, what am I interested? So I think whoever wants to start and on this self-reinventing or like going outside of their comfort zone to do something new and really need to spend some time to understand him or herself, you know, identify the key values. For me, you know, some of my key values, one of them is like freedom. I value freedom so much, you know, like coming to Korea, I met so many digital nomads and people who have online businesses. And I truly see freedom is a possibility, doing what you love and making the money to support your family and traveling. That is something very important to me. But maybe it is not important to you, you know, so really make the time to understand yourself, you know. And I think in our everyday life, there are so many distractions, Deirdre, you know, like content.
Oh, yes.
We are bombarded by content, you know, everyone has a story. I think yesterday, actually, I was thinking about this, you know, like becoming who I am and becoming myself is a journey of constructing who I am and then deconstructing who I am and then reconstructing who I am. What I mean by that is that we learn, like when I started my social media journey, for example, I learn from others. And then I kind of like, I listen to so many experts and gurus. And then I kind of forget about what they learned because it's like, some of them don't really make sense to me. And then I deconstruct what I have learned. And then I reconstruct what makes sense to me, my own little paradigm. So I think it is a journey of becoming who I am and embracing who I am. You just really have to kind of, you listen to others who tell you what to do, and then you kind of forget about what they tell you to really embrace and reconstruct what works for you. I think at least that is my journey, you know, my social media journey and my journey as, you know, entrepreneur in making, so to speak.
Yes. You know, you broke it down really well. I would say that we can all get caught up in the constructing and the deconstructing, but that step to reconstruct and create your own story and to be, that's the hardest part. Because, right, with the, you said there's so much content, and there's a lot of noise out there, and everybody has a story to tell, and we can just sit there and be reading and consuming and just taking it all in, and then kind of stepping back and saying, oh, I like this or I don't like this. But if you don't actually figure out what is important and what your purpose is and what you want to share, then you're just going to be lost in a cycle. And I know it's Gary Vee who basically says, in the words Gary Vee, he probably said, you could just get caught up in everybody else's shit. Go and do something, you know?
Absolutely.
It sounds a little bit
But it is so true. It is so true. You know, when I was listening to other people's stories or reading their content, especially in terms of social media, like at one point I was like, I was so lost. I was like, what should I do? Do I need to post this or not post? Should I on this platform or not? Because everyone tells you something different. You know, I think you just need to have the confidence and to forget about what you learned and to redevelop, reconstruct a paradigm works for you. Yes. And be yourself. You know, Brian Fenzel talks about this. Be yourself. It took me several years to really understand the power of being myself, because there's only one you. Everything else, there. Exactly.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. There's only one I. Nobody can duplicate. Okay. Let's play a really quick game. Let's have some fun. I'm going to ask you a question and you just tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. All right, but first clear your mind.
Yes, yes.
Take a deep breath.
Yes. Okay,
ready?
Code of the Extraordinary Mind.
Oh, I never heard of that one. Who's it?
It's written by, I don't know if you have heard of Mind Valley. And it is a company based in Malaysia, but they are really famous. They have been voted as the top 10 place to work by Inc. magazine, like a few years ago. They have a very employee friendly working environment. And the founder, his first name is Vision. I forgot his last name. And he wrote this book, basically tells you how to re-engineer your mind and your subconscious mind. It is truly powerful. You know, it's perfect for me last year to embark on my journey to get to know myself, reinvent myself, and forget about all those self-limiting beliefs, all those things.
Cool. Okay, favorite vacation?
Oh, Malaysia. We went to Malaysia March. Cool. Yeah, for my children's spring break. I love traveling. It is just so amazing. When you go to different countries, I don't know if I can elaborate on my answer, Deirdre. Please feel free to stop me.
Well, technically, in like the fast-paced lightning round, we can write the rules. That's what's so nice. Were you by the water in Malaysia?
No, we were not. We were just traveling in the cities. Like, we love to explore the city. I just love how in each country, and you see a totally different set of norms, what you are supposed to do, you know, and which to me means that we are all products of our culture. You know, once you see that, you can step out of it, right? And you can see that we are slaves or products of our own norms and values. And once you see that, you can also break those norms and values, you know, like, I think to me, that's just so fascinating, seeing how people in Malaysia are also constructed like in their own reality by the norms in that country. It's just like so fascinating to explore the city. Yeah.
Awesome. How about your favorite hobby?
Yoga. And I love doing yoga. And last year we came to Korea. I also started a daily exercise from Monday to Friday. And I go to the gym and I work out and I do yoga. I started a dance class. I love it. And it's just amazing. Self-care. Yes.
Yes. Awesome. Okay. So with everything that we've talked about and all of your self-care and how you're learning and you're excelling. What is it that makes you feel the most successful? What does success mean to you?
Yeah, I think to me, this means that I'm growing, I'm learning all the time, and what I do is perfectly aligned with who I am, you know. And when I'm in that state, work doesn't feel like work. It flows naturally to me, you know, running my show or writing blog articles or teaching in the digital space, and they flow naturally to me. And I think to me, that means success. You know, there's no resistance from me. I'm totally in the space. I forget about time, forget about who I am. I'm in my zone of my work. Oh, I love that when I'm in that state. And it means I'm successful. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's a great answer. Okay, so maybe we have a little time for you to give advice to other professionals about making big transitions in their lives. What would you say to them?
I think one thing is really embrace digital space. You know, I couldn't stress this, emphasize this enough, you know. I shared this earlier, without social media, without digital technology, digital media devices, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing and be able to connect it with you and so many other amazing people. I shared at the beginning of our interview, I'm going to do my first speaking engagement in Korea, and how this came to me is a very interesting story. I will make this story short. So in March, I went to San Diego for the Social Media Marketing World Conference. I got connected with another person from South Korea. So we exchanged our contact information.
That's so funny.
I know. We exchanged our contact information. I was like, yeah, I'm going to contact you. But I forgot. After I got home, I completely forgot. And the other day, I was walking on the street, and he saw me. But I didn't recognize him. I just...
This is meant to be.
Yeah, I said, this person is so nice to me. Why? But I just like moved on. And so because we were connected on Facebook, so he sent me a message, said, hey, I think I met you. I saw you the other day. Is that you? I said, oh, yeah, sure. It is me. And so we met for coffee. And that's how this conversation, he invited me to be a speaker at this event. So I really embrace digital. You never know the type of people you are going to be connected with. And almost all of my speaking engagement and conferences and interviews, whatever that came to me, they all come from some sort of digital connections, you know. And it is just like really embrace digital space. You know, you don't have to be all over the place. Choose whatever that you feel comfortable with. And just go there and focus and get to know people, really get to know people and go beyond the surface level. Hey, how are you? Great. End of conversation. I don't like that. You know, truly ask people, what are you working on? How are you really doing? And spending time consuming other people's content and use that as a small talk. Oh, I read your article. It's so fascinating. Can you elaborate more on that? So I think that's my top advice, you know. And I really feel the digital space is going to continue to dominate our lives and play a bigger role in the education space or in whatever we are doing. And you just have to keep learning and catching up. Otherwise, it will be too late.
Well, I agree. Embrace, because you never know where it's going to lead you to, whether it's a new friend, a new business contact, a speaking engagement, sky's the limit. Okay, last question, super quick. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
And my social media handles is pretty consistent on every single social media platform. It is iAddisonZong, iAddisonZong. A-N-G. And on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, everywhere. LinkedIn, yes.
Excellent. You're easy to find. I thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing your journey. We appreciate your advice, your insights on digital learning, and you're just an inspiration and a true testament to stepping out of your comfort zone. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and truly my honor.
Oh, thank you. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. And if you can, please just take a moment to let us know on iTunes how you feel about Women Worldwide. We'd love to hear your feedback. Friends, until the next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.